Good to see all of you this morning. We do have visitors and we're glad for your presence. I want to encourage you to come back every opportunity you have to be with us here at ESAD. Danny made mention in our announcements, gospel meeting time. Tis the season for gospel meetings. Gospel meeting, ESAD Church of Christ, March the 27th through April the 1st, 2022, with Brother Heath Rogers coming from Ohio. It's going to take him almost half a day or three quarters of a day to drive down. As Danny pointed out, the times of our services are going to be 9, 10, and 5 on Sunday. Monday through Friday is 7 o'clock. Got the website there. Got my phone number on there if anybody has any questions. On the right side, that side that you're looking at, it's got the topics for his lessons. The elders asked him to speak about the Godhead. And these topics, is what he's told me, are going to allude to that. No room for Jesus. Bible class period, 9 o'clock. Sunday morning a.m., let go and let God. Sunday night, how Jesus viewed Scripture. Monday night, why Joshua served the Lord. Tuesday night, the transfiguration of Jesus. Wednesday, who is the Holy Spirit? Thursday, how the Holy Spirit influences us today. And finally, what does the Holy Spirit do for Christians today on Friday night? The time is here. We've been working on this for some time. And if you don't know, there is a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. We're working on not just 2022, but next year on getting meetings lined up. 2023. The elders have graciously allowed three gospel meetings each year. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work on your part. It's a lot of work on the preacher's part that's coming. It's a lot of work on everybody's part to get everything done. What is your reaction to having this gospel meeting? Are you excited? Is it delightful that, yes, we're having a gospel meeting? I tell you what, I love going to gospel meetings. I went to one a couple weeks ago in Tullahoma, two nights. Maybe because I've got a daughter that goes there and grandbabies, so that may be an extra pull. Went Friday night to one in Murfreesboro. I love going to gospel meetings. I love getting to see brethren that I haven't seen in a while. I saw Billy Bledsoe the other night. Do you have the attitude of delight, or are you another gospel meeting? Really? Or are you just, I really don't care. Disinterested, apathetic, fine, have your gospel meeting. I ain't going to be there. Or are you really disgusted that the elders are having another gospel meeting? Well, what exactly is a gospel meeting when we say this? Our denominational friends would call it a revival. And truly, in some ways, it is a revival because it revives us. It gives you a chance to hear somebody fresh for a while, bring lessons that maybe I wouldn't bring. But a gospel meeting is, by definition, usually a multi-day event hosted by a congregation, you, open to the public, where a guest speaker, a preacher, an evangelist, presents a series of lessons like we had on the screen a moment ago. But in my observation, I have often seen that some really look forward to gospel meetings. They get excited. I'm one of those. Marilyn's one of those. And they will make every effort to attend every service possible. Now, I know it's just like any other time. There's going to be some sickness and work and things like that. I get it. But there are some that have no intention of attending any, or maybe just as few as possible, of this series of sermons. Some even look forward and they even visit other congregations. They don't have to have much of an invitation to get up and go. And others appear to just not care at all. And they're going to make little to no effort to attend and support the gospel meeting. Brethren, this is your work. This is you being a steward of the work at Eastside. Maybe the difference is due to a failure, possibly, to appreciate why it is good to attend gospel meetings, and especially why we, you and I, should make every effort to attend every service of our own gospel meeting. Please allow me to suggest a few reasons that I believe it is important that we, you and I, attend every service of our gospel meeting. First of all, we should attend to support a great message. You may not want to hear sermons about the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, but this brother has put effort into putting these lessons together. He's driving several hundred miles to come and be with you to preach God's Word. The gospel message, regardless of who it is about proclaiming the Word of God. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, that should be what you're all about, is being there to hear God's Word proclaimed. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 4 and verse 12 that it is a powerful. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how powerful it is. Paul said it's able to produce faith in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. He says faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Now, some of you may say, well, I've not heard too many lessons on the Godhead. Well, here's your chance. Here's your opportunity. So don't, after the meeting, say, come to Jeff and say, you got any tapes of what this sermon, what these lessons were about? Or don't say, well, I watched it on the live stream. It ain't the same. And Brother Heath is going to need you here to support him. Isn't God's Word worthy of our support? Isn't it? That's what you basically made a commitment to follow and to serve, to obey when you became a child of God. But in this great message, the gospel meetings proclaim the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, according to Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul here says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Nobody's left out. It's an open invitation for any that want to believe. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But by some actions, you would think that Christians today must be ashamed of it, because they allow other things to take precedence over hearing and supporting the Word of God. Or maybe they just don't want to show up. Maybe they think that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, five nights and three lessons on Sunday, that's a lot of preaching, ain't it? I don't think I can handle that much preaching. So we act sometimes like we're ashamed of the gospel. And I've been there. I'd go to work on Tuesday morning and somebody said, well, what'd you do last night? Did you watch that Bible? No, man, I was at church. What? It was Monday night. What were you doing at church? Then you have to explain to them. And then, why don't you come and join us? Not me. So we go, that's good enough for me. I ain't going. So we're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The message is what Jesus wants you to hear. In Mark 16, Mark's account of the Great Commission, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Isn't the gospel of Christ worthy of our support? Forget that Heath Rogers is coming. The preaching of the gospel is going to be done. Isn't your presence worthy? Isn't the gospel worthy of you being here as a follower of Jesus Christ? Our presence and our shows our support for the great message of Christ. that he has offered to the world. If our being here shows our support of it, how much does our absence say about our support of the gospel? Now, like I said, I get it. There's going to be sickness and there's going to be jobs that might interfere. I'm preaching to those that do not have those obstacles. They just simply will not be here. What does your absence say about your support of God's word? About your support of the message of Christ? That is supposed to be taken into all the world. And by the way, and I've done this at other places when I visit. How am I supposed to answer when somebody comes here and wants to know where you're at if you're not here? What are you going to tell them? Well, they just don't typically show up during the gospel meeting. Maybe they think, well, what's going on at Eastside that they can't be there? Or maybe they're going to say, well, that's just the way they are, ain't it? We are here to receive a great message. And it doesn't matter, again, who's preaching it. The gospel is a great message. The gospel meeting, just like any other preaching of God's word, has a twofold purpose. One is to evangelize, to preach God's word, to seek and to save the lost by proclaiming the very gospel that Jesus commanded us to preach. And to give an opportunity for friends, neighbors, strangers even, to hear the gospel. You know, Danny said there's plenty of announcements in the back still, and if we run out, we can print more. All you have to do is hand it out to somebody. Put it on a bulletin board at work, like he said, if they permit those things. I know people that tape them to the back windows of their cars and drive around town, and somebody get out to the grocery store. Well, look, what's they got in their window? But it's also to edify the ones that do show up. And again, I know you're going to say, well, Jeff, you're harping now. Yeah, I guess I am. Because I'm not edified if you're not here, and you are not edified if you're not here. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, that we are to consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up or to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It can't be done if you're not here. Speaking of sermons, I heard a very good one Friday night, and I told Marilyn, I said, I think I want to steal the outline. And I may call Donnie Rader and say, can I have that outline? Because I think it needs to be preached at Eastside. He made a point in that sermon that so many people today say, well, I'm going to get my life right when this gets done. Or I'm going to get my life right when they get their life right. You realize how wrong that attitude is? It's wrong on my part if I'm waiting on brother or sister so-and-so to make their correction first. Set the example. You set the example. You consider someone else and stir up or provoke unto love and good works. You encourage someone else by setting the example. If you're waiting on somebody else, they may not even know they've hurt your feelings or done wrong in your eyes. It falls on you and me as individuals. We got to revive our first love. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, notice here, he says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. You know, we talked about Matthew chapter 25 this morning in Bible class. Three lessons to be learned from the parable of the 10 virgins. Watch, therefore. The parable of the talents. I knew you were a harsh master. If you knew I was harsh, why didn't you do what you were told to do? Cast him out. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the separation of the sheep and the goats. Eternal life or everlasting destruction. It's on us to encourage one another. The gospel meetings are designed to meet everyone's needs. Gospel meetings offer something for everyone. For sinners, yeah, even for them. And you may be sitting there going, boy, they need to listen to what you're saying. You know what the old adage is? Physician, heal thyself. You listen first. The gospel of Christ tells us about God's love for the sinner. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Before Jesus came, all of us were sinners, right? So he sent his only begotten son to shed his blood so that we can have forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 4 and verse 10, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the perfect sacrifice. In his message, the plan of salvation tells us how to respond to God's love. We've already noticed Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. But in response to the question in Acts chapter 2, Peter's recorded sermon there, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter says that they were cut to the heart. Verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter responds, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You got somebody that needs to obey the gospel? Invite them. Go by and pick them up. Bring them. Don't tell them you need to be there and then you not show up. You need to be here too. You might say, well, I'm already saved. I don't need these lessons. Do you not need a refresher? A reminder on what it's like to preach to the lost? Another purpose is that it's for the saved. So yeah, you need to be here. The apostolic doctrine is for us to grow in grace. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, I made mention of this in the Bible class. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Let me ask you, do you know enough to get to heaven? Your gas gauge on God's word sitting on full? Huh? Can you not learn more? Or is your grace meter pegged to the limit? Or do you still need God's glory and his grace? Do you still need to grow in the grace of our Lord? How many times have you sat through a Bible study or a sermon and you go, you know, I've remembered that, but I had forgotten it, or I'd never thought of it in that way? Kind of get an aha moment? Do you realize you could have more of those if you would just attend? Not just our gospel meeting, but regular services. You need to be in attendance. Danny called me last night. He said, I think I'm going to brainstorm and run this by you about the singing tonight. And I said, well, that sounds good. I said, the sermon I was going to preach this morning, this one, I'll just condense it and make it into the invitation on Sunday night. He goes, no, you need to preach that one Sunday morning. So it's not just me that's noticing. And if I'm not the only one noticing, one of the elders is not the only one noticing, and I'm assuming the other two as well. You think there's anybody else that notices when you're not here? Huh? Well, I'll come more often when they come more often. Or I'll get my life. It doesn't work that way. You're not growing in grace and knowledge if you're not here. You're not edifying yourself, and you're not edifying others. You're not exhorting one another. John come up to me afterwards and he says, I heard something, I think you're going to like it. I said, as long as it ain't about Vanderbilt, I will. He's a Vanderbilt fan. I'd say the same thing about Alabama if Jason come up to me like this. But he says, there's a lot of Christians that are CEO Christians. I said, chief executive officer? He said, no, Christian, or Christmas and Easter only. I said, yeah, Plan B Christians. I think that even among our own brethren, we have some of that mentality. They go only when it suits them. They go only when they want to. They think that the command of Jesus to assemble doesn't really apply to them. They're going to do what they want to do. You realize you may be like the five foolish virgins in the parable of the 10 virgins? Lord, Lord, let me in. And as I told you, one translation says, I don't want to know you. Let me in. Can I buy some righteousness from you, as McGarvey would point out? Lord, let me in. Before you get to that point, they may ask you, why were you not growing as Peter commanded you? In grace and knowledge. Why were you not in attendance? Well, Lord, I didn't think. You know, that may be the first problem, is our thinking. I didn't think it applied to me. I didn't think I had to do everything that you said do. You know, sometimes people might accuse us of being legalists where we try to bind the complete law of God. The apostles' doctrine teaches us to prepare for the grace to come. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you by or at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice what Peter says here in verse 10. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. You've been called to obey the gospel. You've obeyed the gospel. But you're a part-time Christian. Because you don't want to do everything that God tells you to do. You don't feel that it's necessary or required of you. And yet Peter tells every one of us to be more diligent, to work harder, to have some zeal, some energy about making our calling and election sure. Gospel meetings are designed for both the sinner and the saved alike. Now, do you fall into either one of those categories? Yes, you do. All of us do. Our presence during a gospel meeting shows that we desire to receive the great message that Jesus Christ has to offer. Again, the question begs to be asked, what does our absence show? And finally, we should attend gospel meetings not to receive the great message, but to send a great message. You see, gospel meetings are times that allow you to show or to demonstrate that you have your priorities in life right. A lot of times we look at Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And true, He talks about being anxious or having anxiety about stuff in life. And true, we do need to seek first the kingdom of God. But if I fail to attend the services, again, what does that say about my priorities in life? Gospel meetings gives you an opportunity to show that you have the proper attitude toward the gospel of Christ. That you're not ashamed of it. Romans 1 and verse 16. It gives you an opportunity to show that you have concern for those that are lost as well as those that are saved. That you have compassion for them, that you have empathy for them. You may be the one and only person that can make a connection with that person, that individual. But you're not here. So there's a connection that's lost, and they may remain forever in a lost state. It gives you an opportunity to support your brethren. Brother Rogers is coming, like I say, all the way from Ohio, and he needs your support. We all need each other's support. You should want to be here to encourage each other. So gospel meetings reveal a lot about ourselves, don't they? Gospel meetings allow you to have influence. They allow you to have influence on your family, your friends, your neighbors, and yes, even your brethren. Allow you to have influence for good by the example that you set by being present. Like I say, it's not just time for gospel meeting, but this ought to be all the time. But it also allows you to send a message to have influence for ill by the example of your absence. You see, gospel meetings impact a lot of people in a lot of different ways. It's gospel meeting time. You've been encouraged to be here. The elders have prepared this. Meeting announcements have been prepared. I've been telling about it on the radio program. We've got it announced in the back. It's on the website. We've been working on this meeting for at least a year. How sad for all that work to be done for naught. We should attend gospel meetings. I put the question up there, why attend? But I'm going to rephrase that now. We need to be here. You need to be here to support the great message, to receive a great message, and to send a great message. My purpose here, even though it may sound harsh, has not been to put a guilt trip on you, but instead it's been to enlighten you and to encourage you. And I want to leave you with the words of Paul from 2 Timothy 2 and verse 7. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I pray, I hope, that you'll be here for every service of the gospel meeting. And let me qualify that again. I understand there's going to be sickness. I understand that your job may hinder you. But I'm, again, talking to those people, maybe that don't have a job, that have a job that frees their time up, that are not sick. I'm talking about the healthy and those that can be here with no hindrances. You need to consider the Word of God. You need to be here. You need to be here to encourage yourself, to be edified yourself, to lift up your brothers and sisters in Christ, to support the preaching of the gospel, and to edify not only ourselves, but those that may visit. Who knows? You may see someone that you haven't seen for years that might visit that night. You might reaffirm or refresh an old acquaintance or make a new one. Meet a brother and sister in Christ that, you know, I didn't know I had this in common with you. And there's another source of encouragement. My mama used to tell me that when I would fuss at my kids that I needed to tone it down a little bit. She said, your voice is booming, it's loud, and it comes across as harsh. It may do that. And at times I probably should apologize. But for today I'm not. Because it bothers me. It bothers me when I see my brothers and sisters, when they do not attend the services for no apparent reason, they just don't come. And it's being noticed by others. I have people that will ask me, well, where's so-and-so? I'm not their babysitter, but I am my brother's keeper, aren't I? I guess I need to find out. So if you're waiting on someone else to get their life right, then you've got a problem. If you are allowing something in the world to distract you from serving the Lord the way God wants you to, then you've got a problem. Whatever that problem is, now is a time to repent of it and to confess your sin. Because as we pointed out, you know, people say, you point out Hebrews 10:25 all the time. Well, that's not just the only reason you need to be here. You're failing in supporting and encouraging your brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, doesn't Jesus tell us that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is there in their midst? Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be in the presence of the Son of God? When we come together to lift up our voices in praise, to offer our prayers and petitions, and to hear God's word proclaimed to us, who would not want that? Well, evidently there's some. If you're here this morning, you've never put Christ on in baptism, this is an opportunity for you to join that happy family, if you will, that heavenly family, to have a taste of what heaven is going to be like, to be around those that love one another, that love the Word of God, and are willing to encourage one another. But maybe you've allowed the world to pull you away from your service to God if you've already put Christ on in baptism. This is your opportunity as well to make your life right. Think about how much of an encouragement it would be for you to have that burden lifted. If you have sin in your life, to take that care away and to know that Jesus is going to blot it out to never be remembered. It might help you sleep at night. It might do away with ulcers. It might do away with acid reflux and all these other things that come from physically worrying about stuff. A peace of mind is worth a lot. If you're here this morning and need to respond to them,